Yes, we are going to be having a look at the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit first arrived. And we've used this, I think, once before in a service. These are our Bible binoculars, okay? So whenever you see this, this is a symbol that we need to be looking down at the Bible and paying attention to it, okay? So remember that. It's in the mix. But as we've already remembered this morning, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. And having been raised to life, and gone up to heaven, Jesus has told his disciples, he's given them a really important promise, that he is going to promise the Holy Spirit to come, to make them a new, recreated people, a new humanity recreated by God's, by his Spirit. So let's start by setting the scene. Grab a Bible and open it up to page 1093. So if you're a confident reader, maybe help out those readers who aren't so confident around you. Kids, that means your parents, their eyesight is probably not quite what it once was, so help them out. So, everybody in Acts chapter 2, page 1093, we're going to grab our Bible binoculars and have a look down at chapter 2 and verse 1. And let's read that together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So we're joining Jesus' disciples as they were back in Jerusalem. They were all together and they were waiting for this promised Holy Spirit who's going to make this new, recreated humanity. Now what we're looking out for next in the following verses are three Old Testament signs, three Old Testament pictures of God that are going to help us understand how God is recreating this new humanity for himself. So they're not things you might see every day, which hopefully means we're going to be able to spot them quite easily. And we're going to try and spot them because, like I said, they're going to help us understand what's going on with now the Holy Spirit has come. So keep your Bible binoculars on and have a look in your seats, particularly at verse 2. Have a look down at verse 2. What sort of unusual sign do we see there? Have a chat to your neighbor, a few seconds. Okay, any thoughts? Verse 2, what can we see? What's going on in verse 2? Anyone want to shout out? A violent wind. If we could have the verse on the screen. Oh, thank you, Andy. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can we have a go at a sound effect? Did you read it right? It wasn't a gentle breeze. Let's give that another go. A violent wind came. Much better, much better. So what Old Testament picture does this remind us of? Well, that word wind, it's the same sort of word for breath. It really reminds us of when God created Adam way back at the beginning of the Bible. Do you remember? We thought about that in our Bible story outline, didn't we? God breathed into Adam's nostrils to give him life. Do you remember that? Way back in Genesis. But why are we being reminded of God breathing life into Adam? Well, back in Genesis, God made Adam to be in his image, to reflect God's character and to be like him. So now, just like in Genesis, God is recreating his people. We're seeing a massive breathing out of life into this new people. They're going to be people who live as they were always supposed to live. They'll be remade into God's image. So in other words, they won't be untrustworthy anymore. They'll be faithful. They'll not be self-serving anymore, but generous. They won't be deceitful and lie, but they'll be truth-speaking. They won't be quick to make enemies, but they'll be known as peacemakers. They won't tear people down, they'll build people up instead. Some of you may know that Sam and I are getting married next week. Thank you. And I've been flicking through Pinterest, and you know, you see those sort of bridal magazines and things, don't you? And it's really tempting. I think the whole wedding industry is built around these incredible weddings that get put on display. They try and make you feel like you too have to splurge all your money to create a picture-perfect event, because that is the peak of humanity. That's it, seeing there. Do you know what I mean? You see it on social media too, if you're on Instagram or that sort of thing, that you see all these perfectly crafted selfies and people out doing amazing things like paddleboarding and enjoying the sunshine. I don't know about you, but it's hard to feel like that's not humanity at its peak, because it's so carefully put together, isn't it? It's easy to think that I can't possibly measure up to that, or that actually I've got to present a similar sort of filtered version of myself. But do you know what? That's rubbish. None of those things are humanity at its peak. God's recreated people who've had new life breathed into them by the Holy Spirit, that is humanity at its peak. They're having new life breathed into them so that one day these new recreated human beings will perfectly reflect back God's character. Okay, let's put our Bible binoculars back on again. So back in the Bible, have a look at verse 3. Chat to your neighbor. What's the sign? What's the picture that we've got in verse 3? Oh, some good murmurings. Some good murmurings. What's the sign? What's the picture? Someone shout out. Tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. Come down. Let's read it out. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. A bit like this. A bit like this. Now, this is an Old Testament sign that you see every so often as you go through the Bible. Fire and clouds, they're a sign of God's presence. For example, we've already looked at the temple earlier today, haven't we? When that was finished being built as God's dwelling place among his people, cloud and fire came down to rest upon it. Except, where's the fire resting now in Acts chapter 2? It's on the top of the disciples, isn't it? In other words, God, he's not up the mountain anymore. He's not behind a curtain. He's not in a building cut off from his people. God's recreated people have him living inside them by his Spirit. And that is really good news. That is really, really good news. God's recreated people will have them living inside him by his Spirit. It's such an intimate picture, isn't it? Now, our parents, they're all generally pretty great. But there are times even the best parents aren't always available. They're not always there for you. Maybe they're busy cooking the dinner, or maybe your little brother needs lots of attention. But God is never too busy. He lives inside his people, who can now talk to him whenever they want. That's amazing. Or what if I struggle with my self-image? Maybe I feel like I don't really fit in all that much, or I'm terrified that people might find out what I'm really like under the surface. Well, if you're a Christian, God knows exactly what you are like, and he still chooses to live in you by his Holy Spirit. You couldn't be more accepted than that, could you? Okay, Bible binoculars back on. Have a look down at verse 4 in your chairs. Have a chat to your neighbor. What's the sign, the picture that we see there? Oh, I'm hearing it a little bit. Shout out. Speaking in tongues, or different languages, isn't it? Can we have verse 4 on screen? What on earth does this tell us about God's recreated people? Well, you might remember the Old Testament story of the Tower of Babel. Just in case you don't, we're going to act it out now. You might have noticed there are a few boxes scattered around. If you're a child, well, or just a big child, come and bring up some of those boxes. Woody is going to help us make our own Tower of Babel, just to remind us what was going on there. So bring up those boxes to the front here.
Thank you.
Great, thank you all.
Right, oh, thank you.
So do you remember the Old Testament story? The people sort of band together. They united against God's. And they decide to build this tower of Babel. this Tower of Babel that they're going to try and make reach up right up to the very heavens. I'm not sure I'd have done it that way around. You're not a Babylonian architect, are you, Woody? Amazing, thank you. They built this tower. Now that was a bit of fun. But the story of the Tower of Babel, it was not fun, because it's all the people united against God to try and make a name for themselves and build up a tower to the very heavens. And do you remember at the end of that story, God came down among all these people to stop them. And he stopped them by stopping them speaking the same language to break them apart from other people. And then they were scattered all over the world. But now at Pentecost, do you remember in verse 4, what's he doing? God is coming down again from heaven by his Spirit. But this time, he's helping people to speak the same language as others, isn't he? Did you notice that? He's bringing them back together again. God's recreated people will be united. And this is something that's really striking as you read your way through the book of Acts. Because as the story goes on, you see that actually these first Christians, they get scattered too. They get in trouble and they get sort of shot out all over the world. So it's more than just undoing what's going on at Babel. It's redeeming it too. Because this time, the people are scattered again. Except it's not scattered to be in conflict with each other. It's scattered so that more people can hear the good news about Jesus, can receive the Holy Spirit, and become united as one of God's new, recreated people from all nations around the world. That's amazing news, isn't it? I've got a question for you. Turn to your neighbour. What is the worst bit about school? You've got 5 seconds. What's the worst bit about school? Okay, that's enough time. I think there's probably all sorts of answers that came up. Probably all sorts of things that it could have been. Maybe the worst thing about school that came to your mind is spelling tests. Maybe it's the uniform. Maybe you really don't like it. I've worked out what it actually is. The worst thing about school is actually the playground, isn't it? Because, yes, that's where you usually have loads of fun and play sort of games and football or this, that, and the other, whatever you want to do. But actually, it's also the place where the most arguments happen, isn't it? It's where that name-calling happens or rumours start. Sometimes you even get fights on the playground, don't you? All sorts of awful things. And grown-ups, you know that actually these problems, they're not just something that you grow up out of once you stop being a child. I'm sure we've all been sort of part of workplaces where, the email gets sent round or the passive-aggressive note gets put up on the wall because somebody or lots of people keep leaving the kitchen in a mess. Have you seen that? But it gets worse than that, too. Like, if you've ever been involved in a grievance procedure or something like that at work, it's horrible, isn't it? You'll know just how unpleasant that is. Well, the promise here, as Babel is undone and people are brought back together, is that among God's recreated people, this will happen less and less. Because they'll be united, and all the more because the community is filled by the Holy Spirit. Even better than that, though, one day they'll get on all the time. Not some of the time. No fighting. No arguing. Ever. Now, those of you that are a bit older or a bit longer in the tooth, do you feel lonely? Maybe because you've lost loved ones. Maybe because you feel a bit isolated because your physical health is in decline. I know that there are some folk who can only watch online or can only listen to the sermon on audio. Maybe if you're older, you feel sort of set aside and maligned by a younger generation. Well, I'd encourage you, look back to the picture of God's recreated people in Acts. Remember, God's people are a unique God-given unity. It's a people who are characterized by friendship, by brotherhood and sisterhood. It's the complete opposite of loneliness and isolation. I'm sorry if you feel that way, but we don't want to leave you there. Please reach out if that is you. So, God, he's recreating a new humanity for himself. People who will live perfectly the way they were always supposed to. People who will enjoy a close, intimate relationship with God and with one another. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian here this morning, I would so strongly encourage you to look into this. Isn't that something you'd like to be a part of? If you would call yourself a Christian, there's probably an obvious thought that we might be left with, and that is, oh no, I've never experienced being in a room with a violent wind and tongues of fire and being able to speak all different kinds of languages. Don't worry, nor have I. Acts chapter 2 is not a step-by-step of what we should expect to see happen whenever someone becomes a Christian. Rather, as Peter explains in the following verses of that chapter, there are signs there to show us that we need forgiveness. We need Jesus for forgiveness of our sins. Verse 38 says of this chapter, have a look down at it with me. If we turn to Jesus, then we too will receive the Spirit and become part of God's recreated people. A recreated human who will one day perfectly live the way we were made to. Who will enjoy a close relationship with God and with other Christians. That's what happens when someone becomes a Christian. It's a guarantee. And I think that's worth celebrating, isn't it? If you recognize any of that work in your life, take time later today to praise God for his Spirit. Praise him that you can see him making you more like him. Praise him that you can pray to him in the first place. Praise him for the good friendships and relationships you have within the church family. If you don't feel this way, perhaps it's worth talking to God about that too, whether that's the first time or the thousandth time. It might be that we need to pray and confess that we've tried to do it our own way, that we've lived in a way that ignores the Holy Spirit in our lives. Perhaps that's appropriate too. But for now, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for sending your Spirit. Thank you that you sent him to work in us and to turn us into your recreated people. We're sorry that by ourselves we don't live in a way that reflects what you're like. We're sorry that we live lives that drive a wedge between us and you and between us and other people. Thank you that by your Spirit you are recreating us to perfectly live the way we were always made to, and to enjoy a close, intimate relationship with you and with one another. Amen. Amen. Amen.